preaching? What the heck? All right, Sandra, I'm going to bring you up here and let you run. So, do you have a video you're playing first? Is that what's going on?
We didn't want to block the screen.
There's something on the screens first, and then they'll go back up. So, go ahead.
Wait. Can you pause a minute? Okay. Okay, I guess I'm jumping off. I wasn't in Africa, so I'm not in the special group. Just one of their intercessors. So I wanted to share this with you because this is a part of the process of Alaska, and we are called to be ascending state. We're very apostolic, and we go. So the first part I wanted to share with you really briefly is that in April, I was woken up at 4 in the morning, and I heard this clanging. And, I mean, it was, like, deafening loud, and I opened my eyes, like, really quickly, like, what is going on? And all of a sudden, the lion was in front of me, and I watched him position his paws on Alaska, and he was viciously shaking his head, and the keys were clanging. And all of a sudden, I saw lights going on all over Alaska, and he said, the four winds have his breath, it's time. And I went, okay, okay, Lord. So that is the first part. And when I did paint this, I knew that it was going to be paired over and over with every country that God said. And the first fruits in the first country was Africa. Can you guys see that one? I can't see it. So I was working on this while the team was in Africa. And can you see it? So what I wanted to share was while I was working on this, all of a sudden I saw the Lord take Africa, and I saw him hold it up topographically so you could look at the mountains this way. Like, I saw him take it like this. And all of a sudden when I saw it topographically, I saw it was four times as deep as it was high. And the Lord said to me, the ancient parts of Africa, the ancient wells, everything's really deep. In the old country, and what has happened. And so as he was showing me this, I'm painting, and all of a sudden I'm watching this lion, and he's digging this hole, and I'm thinking, geez, that's so cool. He's probably digging up an ancient well, and I'm like, wow, he's digging in the red dirt. And all of a sudden I had this sinking feeling in my stomach, and I went, I know what he's doing. And he turned around, and he looked at me, and he said, follow me. And I was like, he's taking me under the ground. I don't want to go. And I was like, okay, Lord, I'm following you. And I went under the ground, and I saw these giant roots, this root system, massive root system. And I saw this DNA running up and down the roots, going up into the ground and down and up. And it was in like this vast cavity under the ground. And there were creepy things in there. I won't get into that with the littles in here. But I was like, God, this is really hard. And he talked to me about how the reigning spirit over Africa was witchcraft. Thus, there's the snake over Africa. So he was showing me this, and then all of a sudden, it was like I was in a movie screen, and I was watching David Livingstone and these great men of revival that walked through and put their DNA into the land. And he said, it's time. It's time. It's time.
Thank you. you can see, we crammed a lot into 2 weeks.
So, wow, we are very excited to be here and to be able to share today with you guys all the amazing things that God did while we were there. And just as we said this morning, God's timing is perfect. Although, a lot of you know that we were supposed to go last year in April, 3 weeks from flying out is when all the stuff blew up in our world. So we faced a lot of postponement and disappointment and heartache and many trials personally in our lives too in 2020. But God gave us the Kairos moment this year to be able to go. He opened up the window of opportunity. And in this, he demonstrated his blessings over and over in so many ways that it's countless how many times we'd be here for a long time to go over all of it. So it's just amazing how God works it all. When he showed me, and I kept asking throughout the year, last year, okay, God, when is the timing for us to go back? And it was back in February, wasn't it, I think, when he says, go now. The window's open now. So I was like, okay, that's short. When are we supposed to go? And this was the opportunity. And I was like, okay, but his Kairos moment worked. So he's called each of one of us to go after the one, to leave the 99. And that's Father God's heart of love that chases after us to fight for each of us. So this is the heart of what we were sent to Okalau for this time to do. And in this trip, he taught a lot of us many things. He stretched us. He grew us. But we give God all the glory. So I'm going to let Caden share a little bit. Would you put the first slide up for Caden?
Yeah.
What was your favorite thing?
Definitely playing with the kids and all that jazz.
What did you tell me that you could smell here in Alaska?
I smell giraffes everywhere. Yeah, it's very weird. Like, I can smell it in food. Like, this smells like giraffes. I don't... I can't describe it.
I could have showed you the picture of the... Should I tell them? With about the giraffe?
Trying to drool on me?
Yeah, I just told them.
That I was fat.
I was standing underneath the giraffe. We were trying to get a picture, and there was five of us standing underneath the giraffe, and I was kind of directly underneath it. Underneath it, and the drool started to come down, and I was just like... Yeah, it was not a good thing.
Isaiah.
I say I couldn't pick one picture, though, y'all.
I had to pick eight. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah, for me, definitely playing with the kids is probably my favorite, too. Playing and worshiping with the kids is really fun. You'd have times where you had, like, 23-year-olds trying to tackle you down the ground, and you just have to escape by tickling them, and you had no other option.
Isaiah and Caden, we had 2 hours every day that we were with the teachers, and they got to babysit 100 kids with veggie tails and 5 soccer balls.
Yeah.
So that
I
was.
I didn't know about that till the day of.
Yeah. How's that slide coming, Ben? Please. Sorry.
So
we were waiting.
I had a lot of the kids that touched my heart. We have Beatrice in the corner. Peace with all the beads in the hair, and Simon down below. And then they like to play in my chair, so I let them play in my chair. And then it was pretty fun getting to be silly and all that. You can see some of that. And amazing what they can do on their motorcycles. There you see like a full-size bed and a coffee table just going down the road. I saw one 20 crates stacked up on the back of a motorcycle. It's very common to see 4 people on a motorcycle. Yeah.
motorcycles is actually one of their main transportation. They use them a lot. That's how the people get back and forth. Because normally either they walk, and if it's too far for them to walk, they'll hire a motorcycle driver. Okay, so there's actually five of us on the team. So obviously there's only four here. One of them is out of state. So because of technology, we're going to bring her in through Zoom. And hopefully this will work.
While we're waiting for Deanna, I think the boys should tell a story from the Sweetwater camp.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Oh, the beetle?
Oh, yes.
Gosh. So we're walking back from the...
It was super dark.
It was very dark. Like,
oh, it gets really dark.
Like pitch black. So we're walking back. I have a flashlight. I'm a little ahead of Isaiah. And so we're walking, and I hear a hiss. So I jump around, flashlight, as it flies up in the air. There's a beetle the size of a small dog. And so we're like, we're scared of it at first. We're like, okay, it's chill. It's not going to kill us. So we go to take a picture of it. Oh, it looks small on camera. So Isaiah goes to put his foot next to it. That's when we find out the thing can fly. So it flies up in the air. We're running. I'm in flip-flops. It's on like a firing squad. Running down the walk path. Yes. Yeah.
All right, Deanna, you want to share?
Oh, it's my turn.
Your turn.
Are you going to put my slide up there?
Go ahead.
Okay, so the video I'm watching of you guys on Facebook is a little bit delayed from what I am actually seeing and hearing, so just you'll have to bear with me. So I can't really tell, Ben, if my slide is up there or not for my time of sharing.
Oh, that was the wrong slide. Which ones were they?
It should be slide number 4. Go back one.
Nope.
It'll have me on there. You can't miss me.
There you go.
There you go, right there. So it's hard to pick just one moment that was memorable because there were so many. The first day that we got to go and tour both of the schools, because there are two locations, the very bottom one where you can see me standing there with a bunch of kids in front of me raising my hand, that's at the younger school. And so there's such a language barrier with the younger kids because they're just now starting to learn the English language. And so one way of bridging that gap of language is by song. And so there, they kept coming around the office. And so I went outside. And since I couldn't communicate with them by just talking, I started singing. And so lo and behold, they started singing with me. So that was me down there doing "If You're Happy and You Know It, Jesus Loves Me." And so that was one of my most memorable moments there, was just that first contact of being able to break that language barrier. And then if you look at the picture on the left of me holding a little girl, that was probably our second or third day of doing VBS. And the little boy sitting next to her kept picking on her, and that was about my third time of seeing her crying. And so I just... wiggled my finger for her to come over, and she just crawled right up in my lap and just sat there, and there she had just finished crying. So just having a little bit of a snuggle moment with her. And then the picture up on the top center, that was our last day of VBS, and Sandra had asked me to play the song The Blessing. And so it was mainly half of our team in there, and maybe one or two teachers were in there, but it was mainly us and the students left in there. And so lots of tears were flowing, and that was me with the second graders. And many of those girls had had been crying and having a rough time because they didn't want to see the VBS end. And so that was pretty memorable, of knowing that you're impacting them enough that they just wanted to keep going. And then on the far right, that was when we were able to bless the teachers with our learning manipulatives and posters, everything that we brought. If you had noticed during the video, the classrooms are very sparsely decorated, and most of the posters that you would have seen hanging in the classrooms were handmade. They're not store-bought. Our intent behind this was not to Americanize their school at all, but to give them tools to be creative in their teaching. We'll talk a little bit more later on in our presentation about what the school setting is like for them, because it is very different from the American schools. And so it would just help the teachers to be able to switch off just lecturing, because that's pretty much what the teachers did. And if you can imagine students ages 3 up through 2nd grade having all day lecture, it would get very, very dry and learning wouldn't be very fun. So that picture just showed just a small portion of what we brought. To give you an idea, I think we had like 250 pounds worth of just learning materials that we brought over to donate to the school. So I will turn it back over to whoever is going to share next.
All right. Thank you, Deanna. So I also want to thank you guys, our Bridge of Hope family, for all the prayers and financial support and the generosity of this house for us to be able to go in the individuals. We couldn't have done what we accomplished for God's kingdom without it. We got a lot of prophetic words. We want to thank you for all the prophetic words that were spoken over us. I especially want to thank, because of technology, we can use WhatsApp. So we had a WhatsApp prayer group, and it was actually needed a lot of the prayers while we were there. We were able to text back and forth and get that going, get prophetic words over us and words of encouragement for us. There was a lot of spiritual warfare that actually went on prior to going to on our trip and while we were there. A couple days before we left, actually, I'll back up. Last time we were there, 2 years ago, one of the spiritual attacks that I had personally on my own body while we were, especially when we were doing the VBS, was I battled with a severe, it was like a vice grip on the back of my head. And we kept praying and trying to pray over that, I had it almost the whole time we had the VBS going. So prior to going this time, a couple days right before we were leaving, I was on the phone with Joy, who was the director of Father's Delight, and one of the things that I have always appreciated about our friendship is that we always end our conversations, at least we try to, when the phone breaks, is to pray with each other. While she was praying, I had that same vice grip come back on the back of my head, and I was like, oh, I recognize this. I know what this is. So we prayed against it. I got the prayer group going, and it only lasted about a day and a half, and it was gone. At the same time, though, half a world away, she had a spiritual attack going on that she had in the middle of the night. She woke up. She sounded like somebody was breaking into her house. It was not anybody there. She actually had some other people staying there. They did not hear the noise. So we recognized that there was a lot of spiritual warfare that was going on. The other thing is, God had me waking up weeks before we even went on the trip and while we were on the trip in the middle of the night. So I had very short nights of sleep, and I knew it was all because I needed to be in prayer, in worship, and bringing breakthrough. So through that, he actually gave me a lot of strength, even though I wasn't getting much sleep. And we know that all the sacrifices of prayer and warfare was well worth it. And even as we said today, victory came. And we're going to get into what that happened, what a lot of that victory was. I want to thank all of the several businesses that generously donated a lot of the materials that we brought. Like Deanna said, we brought over 250, probably 300 pounds of luggage. You saw a picture of all of our luggage that we brought. Most of that was not our own luggage.
That was stuff that we brought there to bless them with. So I want to thank all of everybody who donated the materials and the money to be able to purchase a lot of that stuff. So I also want to thank my team. They each were, we were actually worked very well together. It was a fine oiled machine, like somebody had prophesied over us. They're all very hard workers, very flexible. Sometimes we were having to be very creative in our time. Like, oh, no, what are we going to do with all this time?
Sing. Lots and lots of singing.
Yeah. All the prep work, our brawn guys here, loading and unloading the stuff. Every day we had to set up and tear down, and we had to load stuff back and forth. So they helped get everything together. Isaiah and Caden, like we said, they spent a lot of time playing with the kids and entertaining the kids in the afternoons. Isaiah, we nicknamed him our candy man. We brought over 25 pounds of dum-dums with us, and he was very generous in handing them all out. And they got to recognize our vehicle when we were driving back and forth, so we had to drive home real slow every time because walking is a big deal for all of them. So handing out all of this candy to these kids, they loved it. So Caden, his humor came in. And working with the sound equipment. So, Deanna, I want to thank her for all her expertise and advice in the teaching, leading worship, her spiritual giftings in the prophetic and the visions. Same with Becca. I thank you for your using your prophetic giftings and visions, teaching the VBS, and being the Facebook guru and our graphic designer. Okay, Ben and Luke, I want to thank each of you and your families for giving the blessings and sacrifice for each of them to go. And thank each of you for your yes. For your yes to God to go on the team.
And the boys pushing out our van several times.
Yes, we got stuck. Yes.
No, go ahead.
Okay. We all know we serve a God who answers prayers, right? So God answered our prayers from our trip 2 years ago in 2019. So when we were there, we prayed over, actually we only physically prayed over one other woman, right? That was Miriam. One of the things that God answered prayers was we found these out later. Three new babies were born. The woman that we prayed for she was actually battling being miscarriage at the time. She did not miscarry. We don't have a picture of that baby, but the baby is now almost a year and a half, I think, now. Her name is Christine. That was Marion. Marion actually had numerous miscarriages, and they thought she was going to miscarry again. This woman here is Miriam, and she has a 7-year-old, and it's been 7 years prior to time, and she'd been trying to get pregnant again, and now this is Abigail. We met Abigail there. So another answer to prayer. And the next slide is the cow. The cow gave birth too. They actually used the milk from this cow. You saw the porridge, the little pink cup with all of the porridge. They used the milk from the cow to put that in the porridge every morning for the kids. So once this calf begins to produce milk, there'll be more milk for them. The next slide is, this is Beatrice. Beatrice is three, I think, right? She's three. I found out about Beatrice after coming back that she actually had a serious heart condition. Her mom was having to take her to Nairobi almost weekly to have treatments done on her heart. She is healed. She's a happy, vivacious, beautiful little girl now.
So God is another answering another prayer. We talked about being God being our Jehovah Jireh. This week, one of my, you saw up there a picture of me holding a chicken. That was one of my daughters who gave me a live chicken. Her name is Susan. She told me this week that their crops were dying because of the lack of rain. And farming is their sustenance for to getting food. And we prayed Jehovah Jireh to provide rain, and it rained this week for them. So.
It's your adopted daughter, right?
Yes. Well, okay. Obviously. Our skins are a little different color. So we do have more prayer needs. We met a little girl, 3-year-old little girl. I'm gonna keep her nameless. We prayed and anointed the oil over her. And when we prayed for her, she was just very terrified. Trembled in my arms. She lives with her grandma. Her mother has recently died. But her and her brother have some serious health conditions. So we need to pray that God intervenes. It's life-threatening health conditions, all the things. So that's another prayer. I know that God can answer that prayer.
So this little girl, she's 3 and her brother is 6. Joy actually sends a motorcycle to their village to pick them up and bring them back, and it's about a 30-minute motorcycle ride. And part of the reason she does that is because she is, as the pastor and the person in the area who people reach out to when they see children at risk or families having a hard time, they've reached out to her because these 2 little kids stopped going to school. They're both orphans and being raised by their grandma. And so one of the teachers from that school in that village reached out, and the village itself is illiterate and violent. So it's kind of a rough situation there already. So Joy reached out to them. Her school facilitates those ages. So she sends a motorcycle, and they ride on a motorcycle to school every day.
So we, as a team, would always begin our day with worship and prayer. And just as we said today, Amity alluded to it, was that worship is warfare. It's very powerful. So you saw in the video that one of our theme songs became the song Rest on Us. So we began that almost, I think we played it every single morning.
Yeah.
And without the Holy Spirit, we knew that our efforts would fall flat. So we were just letting Holy Spirit lead us every day and work through us. So we had 4 days of VBS that we had, and some of those videos we showed were actually impromptu worship times that we just put on some worship music. It wasn't a planned time. And God powerfully and awesomely moved in some of those impromptu worship times. Actually, you saw at the one of the end, very end ones, you saw Juliet was one of the teachers, powerfully moved by the Holy Spirit in one of those worship times. She was not the only one. We led the kids in listening and hearing from God in various ways to speak for themselves. And I'm going to let Becca share a little bit on that.
Okay, Ben, I need my slide. You've been notified. Yeah, that one. Okay, these precious kids here, and they're beautiful. So the VBS that we did with them was called God Speaks to Me. And we wanted these kids to hear God and know God, because the Bible verse was, I didn't mark, let me read it. We had a little lamb that I got right before we left, and we had the little lamb say the verse with them. And Deanna actually did the verse. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So we had a little sheep that said that story with them. But so when I was asking the Lord what to share with you guys today, this is what he was talking to me about. Because when you own here in this house and in Alaska, what we did over there, it's like God's just transferring it here. We're a part of the same family. So the sessions that we did were called A Heart to be Filled, a nose to smell, eyes to see, ears to hear, a mouth to speak, and a hand for touch. And so there's a couple of them up here in my picture. We have a little piece down here with the hand and the mouth. And these were cutouts that we put, like, on popsicle sticks, and they colored with their new crayons that we brought. So they had lots of fun with that. But so on day three, we did the session, and it was called Eyes to See. And we taught several different things on that day. The boys did I Spy with the kids. We did teaching on visions and dreams and seeing. And so the first thing that I want to share with you, I'm going to read off of here, and it's a dream that I had a year ago before when we were supposed to go. So I was in an African village. The dirt was a reddish color, and the homes were not far apart, kind of like a neighborhood or a native Alaskan village. There were four or five of us. We were going from house to house praying for people in their homes. Kim was with us, and she was learning about the land and the people. And that's a really important piece to this dream, because Kim is part of the village ministries in this house. She helped head it up. And we're tight. We're together. So as we prayed, the Holy Spirit was there. Miracles were in every house we entered. Kim would miraculously use Swahili words in correctly referring to things. I remembered she used the word house correctly in conversation, never ever hearing it before. When out in the dirt street, I saw a portal that came down from the heavens into the village. The portal connected this place in Africa to the Arctic in Alaska. I woke up with a knowing that loving people and miracles were the same. So the reason I'm sharing that dream with you is because I shared it with the kids. And I was teaching them. We were talking about dreams and learning to see. And I was like, this dream is for you guys. And so I shared the dream with them when we talked about the portal and how in Alaska we were connected to the village. And I ran to each kid and I was like, okay, I thought about you for a second, but no. And I put my cheek on their cheek and I said, see, we're family. See, we're family. See? And so the teachers, they started smiling, and I can't remember if any of them actually cried or not, but they were like, it was like they got it. Like, I shared my dream that we're connected, and there's a portal here to the Arctic of Alaska, and they're like, yes, we're family. And they grabbed onto that the whole rest of the time that we were there. They were like, we're family. We're family. We remember the portal. We're family. So that was part of one of our sessions that I wanted to share with you. And then on one day, we taught on ears to hear. And so when we first arrived in Kenya, I was praying, and the Lord had me awake really early, but lots of jet lag stuff going on there. And I had a vision, and the Lord started speaking to me. So I'm just going to read what he had me write down. Because everything, all the dreams and the visions that I had there is for us here in Alaska, too. Like, we have to be the gate. We have to receive this. And I saw Kenya with God's hand stretched out, covering the entire country. I saw wounds, cracks, and breaks in the land and breaks in the hearts of the people. God's hand was healing them. Then I heard the Lord say, I'm sending you to a desperate and broken people, a people in need not only of love and healing, but a people in need of hearing my heartbeat. Then I saw, as he lifted his hand, the land was whole. It was healed, and it started beating in a rhythm with God's heart. Just like these paintings where we have equipping Alaska first and then Africa, that word is for Alaska too. God reminded me of the scripture that a man perished for lack of vision. I prayed for a hope and a vision for the future. He is their hope, their healing, their restoration. Then I heard God speaking again about Kenya. He said, I've called them by name. I've called these people to be my people, to hear me, to know me, to hear my heartbeat, and to live their lives in love with their Savior. That's for the Arctic, too. You got that, Chief of Fire? You got to grab it and take it up to the gate. Then he said, speak to the four winds. Speak to the north. Call them home. So we call the north in Alaska, we call them home, too, in Jesus' name. Call my precious ones. I'm calling them to feast at my table. Then I saw trumpets all over Kenya, groups of trumpeters all over. They are calling in all those who want him. It's an invitation to a wedding feast.
And I had that vision here as well, the trumpets all over Alaska. So then the last thing that I felt like the Lord wanted me to share with you was that on the day that we talked about mouths to speak, we're talking about speaking words of life. And we were everything we did, the teachers had to interpret to these children because they speak Swahili. And God's the God of economy. I think my spiritual mom has said that for the last 20 years. God's the God of economy. So while he's teaching us, to teaching them, we're getting things while we're teaching. The teachers are interpreting. They're getting everything we're teaching double time because they're having to say it while they're interpreting for us. And while we were frustrated with some language barriers sometimes, like when I got home, like the realization that God was doing all these things inside the teachers because they were interpreting for us was powerful. So this morning, Rachel, I had connected with Rachel and she'd had a vision. And I was like, okay, we're talking about visions today and seeing and speaking. So I had all of the kids close their eyes. So I'm going to ask you guys all to close your eyes because you got to see this with me in your imagination. I keep hearing water, and all at once I was in the classroom watching the stream of water bubble up from the ground, and the water is laughing. And it's running down the aisle and under the desks, and the children became trees full of life, and birds were singing. And the water went out and out and out. I don't know how to describe that the water was alive, and the movement went in every direction, like living liquid joy. Nothing dead could live in it. So I want to speak that over our house as well. But I want to tell you guys that when I shared that with the kids, and we were talking about when God talks to us, like, what does it mean? And we talked about the water that was leaving the school, and it was going out into the streets, and the teacher was like, that's like the kids carrying the joy. And I was like, yes. Yes, they actually, absolutely, they got it. So the other thing I wanted to share was about the mouths to speak was that we talked to them about using the Word of God and building up these kids, speaking into them. And so while we're teaching the kids to speak the Word of God and to encourage people, we're teaching the teachers to do that. So I'm like, practical application time. So we had all the teachers with their classes in their tables in this U-shape. And I was like, okay, it's your turn. So I said, this is how it looks. And I look at this little kid, and I'm like, God loves you so much. And I see you running after him. And I said, now it's your turn. And so all the teachers had to take a turn and start speaking life and prophesying over the kids and their tables. And so that was like a practical application. And then the last afternoon at closing, Sandra kind of hit on it, and so did Deanna. But I wrote this in my journal. The last afternoon for closing at VBS, Sandra took a few minutes to pray over all the kids to be blessed. Then she played the worship song, The Blessing. The anointing fell in the room like a blanket. We all moved through the sea of children, each of us trying to lay hands and pray and sing the blessing over them. The tears came quickly. We were all wrecked. Many of the children, boys and girls, were weeping with tears running down their face. The touch of the Holy Spirit was heavy upon us all.
Amen. Yes, it was. It was an awesome time. So the next slide here is, this is the staff. This is teachers and staff. The teachers are Anne, Juliet, Joyce, Margaret, Veronica, Mary, and Joy is the director. So I believe they're going to watch it later in YouTube. So nakupendasana, friends. Sister, we actually, Becca said, we were strangers at the beginning, but now we have become family. We are sisters together. Deanna was able to have lots of input into their helping them in their teaching, and like I said, we brought much manipulative to them, over 300 pounds of educational material supplies that were gifted to them. The day that we brought that into them, they had no idea that we were bringing it to them. They were like little kids at Christmas time. They were just, actually, we were still bringing stuff in, and they were snooping through it, and it was like, wait a minute, we don't have it all here yet. But they were like, oh, we can do this with that, and we can do with this. So it was so awesome to see the creative juices were flowing, because what they work with it's amazing what they can do with the little bit that they have.
The teachers draw their own posters, and some of them are not artists, and some of them are, and they do really, really well.
Yes, they do. It's amazing. Some of the responses that we've gotten back through the text is, we want to thank you once again, sisters in Christ, for the learning materials you brought us. It has really helped make learning fun and easy in our classes. Another quote was, feeling a happy teacher as the materials help them recognize sounds and numbers. So they raise a hallelujah. It says, you can see the excitement as the little boys and girls touched and felt the materials, and it's making my work much easier. So we want to thank you for being able to help us to bring all of that stuff with us. As Becca said, the teachers had to do a lot of translation for us while we were teaching the kids. So as they were having to translate for us, we could see a softening in their hearts as God was preparing for the outpour of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. So one of the things that we were led to do by the Holy Spirit was to honor the teachers and just to love on them by having a retreat. So we hosted a lunch with them and a retreat, and we just wanted the Holy Spirit to be able to be moved and work in their lives. And during one of those early mornings that God had woke me up, he gave me a message while we were there about bringing to them about him, that they are his beloved, and how to know him intimately, that he's wooing each of us closer and deeper into relationship him, and that he actually wants to court us, and that goes to each of us. And it was amazing how God orchestrated the day in so many ways. You saw the picture. We did not pick the room, but the room actually was the Valentine room. From our playlist that we had chosen, it was just God would bring up the appropriate song at the right time. And it was all about leaving the 99, and that he sees each of us and goes after that one. And that is part of why God led us there, because at that retreat, there were 4 of the staff members were saved. 1, we had a deliverance. 2 of them, there was a picture up there that showed that they fell under the power of the Holy Spirit, and everyone was powerfully and deeply moved by Holy Spirit. These were the specific people that God had in mind to encounter.
Yeah.
So our prayers is that they will all grow in their faith and relationship with Jesus. That some of them were, one of them was Catholic, one was Islamic. So we want to pray that that religiosity would be broken off them, and that they would walk in freedom.
Yeah.
We had a video up there, a picture up there of the Community Blessing Day. Now, this was a divine appointment before we left. Becca was in a store, randomly going in, and she met somebody that she knows and generously gave her a bunch of cash, a generous bunch of cash, and says, do whatever you want with it. So we prayed about it. We was like, God, what do you want us to do with this money? It's a lot of money. And we felt led that God wanted us to bless the community. In 1 John 3:18, it says, let us love, not love with word or speech, but with action and truth. And Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of these, do unto them. So we didn't want to just impact the school. We wanted to impact the community of Okalau. So that was where we felt the Holy Spirit was leading us to do in this food blessing. Well, we did not know that it was actually became a very big community deal. The chief of the village came, and we did not understand what he was saying because no one translated that one. But he ministered, and he came, and Anna ministered, and they spoke at the event. They helped to organize it. We realized at that time that the Father's Delight Ministry has that big influence in Okalau. They spoke very highly of that ministry and Pastor Joy.
Can I share something?
Sure.
So I just want to give you guys a picture of why this food was such a big deal over there. I'm going to try to do it without crying. The first morning we were there, we were staying at Joy's house, which is on the farm where the one school is. And I walked over to where the, which there was a picture of the kitchen on there. And it's a little building, and it has pots over fires that they're cooking the meal in. I walked over, and the cook, Naomi, was cooking porridge. And it's like a pink color. Reminds me of like a liquidy cream of wheat. And I don't remember what the ingredients were, but it was a little bit sweet. I had some. And they were pouring it and all into all the cups for all the kids. And I was watching, and I said, Joy, I said, why are, I said, do all the schools feed the kids breakfast? And she's like, oh, no. She's like, but we had several kids come that have told their teachers they aren't having any food in the morning. So in order to take care of those kids, she doesn't single them out. She just feeds them all. And so they all get a cup of porridge and to fill their bellies before lunchtime. And then a motorcycle takes, they cook the porridge there, and the motorcycle takes, because there's two schools, takes the porridge to the other school. And then we were still there. I remember all the things.
She does that at lunch, too.
Yeah. And then we were there at lunchtime, and they were cooking, and these kids have, like, big plate full of rice and beans, and they all get, and they a banana usually, and cabbage, and so I was talking to Joy again, and I said, so you're feeding them a pretty good sized lunch. I said, you know, is that something that the other public schools do? Because we were in lots of the public schools last time we were there, and she said, oh no, she said what we found out was that these children, by afternoon, their learning is so impeded because they're so hungry. And she said, we can ask them to bring food to school for their lunches, but a lot of them won't bring food. And she really ministers to a lot of the at-risk children and the orphans in this community, although she has a lot of people knocking on her doors to try to get them to take her kids. So it's like 50 cents a day to feed these kids.
These are probably, so a lot of these kids, there's only two meals that they get for the day is what they get at that school.
So I'm sharing this because for her to finish telling you why this community, feeding these people, even though it was only a week, which actually I had a lot of crying moments over that, why it's a big deal. So go ahead, Sandra.
So what we gave out was dried corn, dried beans, rice, oil, sugar, and chapati flour, is kind of like they make a naan bread with it, is what they call chapati. So we gave out to per family about 25 pounds of food, which would last them a good week or two. We were able to bless over 127 families. You saw all in the video. We were overwhelmed with how many people were coming, and we were like, we only have, what do we have, 91 bags? 96 bags. And we were like, there's a whole lot more people there than we had bags for. So we were praying that God would multiply, but he worked it out that we were able to give out and fed everybody. Everybody got a bag of food. We did the conversion. I mean, we had huge, you saw us distributing all of the bags because they were, the corn and the beans, we had to separate it all out. Caden was our math guru trying to do the conversion into pounds. We probably had about 1,300 pounds of corn, 570 pounds of beans, 525 pounds of flour, 131 pounds of Crisco, about 262 pounds of sugar and rice apiece, and fed, like I said, 127 families. We had many of the families coming and just giving their thanks and appreciation for that blessing on them. You actually saw in that one video of those songs that they sang, that was all impromptu. That wasn't planned. And you saw her sweater was full of holes and stuff. She was so thankful of us being able to give the food to them.
So the other thing that I want to mention is you guys saw the bags. They were like striped blue and pink bags that we put the food in. Joy purchased those to put the food in, and she was talking to us about how when the government gives food, they bring either the bags they have or whatever people like, usually they use sheets, whatever they have to put stuff in, and they tie it up and put it on their heads or whatever. But she said, you know, these shopping bags really are giving these people dignity. So when they came, they looked like they had just been shopping somewhere. And I think that's really important, and that's part of God's heart when he's loving people. And my son was offered a baby at the end of it.
To bring home.
Yeah.
She was going to give the baby away.
At this.
Because she could not feed that baby.
We had, how many mothers came to Joy? 3 or 4? Several mothers came to Joy and told her at this event that, they told her that they didn't have any food to feed their kids tonight, so they were just putting them to bed. It's a really big deal to these mamas and these grandmas. We actually lined the grandmas up first to get there. And I didn't even know. I'm like, I don't know how these elderly people are going to carry this bag.
The bags were heavy.
They were heavy.
They were heavy. They carried them all home because they were all on foot when they came. So like I said, it was a big deal for us to do that community blessing. And we had no idea when God told us that it was going to be such a big deal. But God had a plan in it all. So we just thank God for that. So the Fathers of the Life, the TFD mission, in a nutshell, has two arms in the ministry. One is to the community, where she actually employs and empowers widows, single mothers, and missions and discipleship programs, and family restoration. Currently, Joy is actually, for example, she's recently walking with assisting a teenage girl who was violated and birthed a child just this past week from that violation. So that is part of what she does for the community in community outreach. The second arm for her ministry that God has given her is to aid the children and orphans through education, either by assisting them in going to another school that is they're too far away, or to the Father's Delight Learning Centers, where she has two locations for the primary and school-age students. She also helps and assists young people in continuing their education through both boarding school and university. So right now we're in the process of trying to get a 20-year-old who has only gone through the 8th grade. She wants to finish her high school. So we're trying to get her into a boarding school into that. So that is part of what she does in her ministry that God has led her to.
Can I share a quick story?
Sure.
So we, one day, probably the Monday before we left, we spent time at the one school and then the other school, and then Joy said that we were going to go visit some people in the community. We didn't know how bad the roads were going to be. God bless her in that sweet van. So the boys pushed us out of a few problems that we had on that trip. But these were all, like, right in our community. It just takes a while to get to these places because the roads are so bad. So we got to go visit two of the children who were orphaned and being raised by their grandmother. And why do I choose the stories that make me cry? And we got there, and we got to meet the two little kids, and Grandma was outside sitting on a blanket with them, and she invited us to come in to her home. And it was very humble, you know, dirt floors and the corrugated metal sides for the house and the roof, and we go in and we sit down, and Joy's talking to her in Swahili, and the minute I saw her and I saw her limping into the house, I was like, Lord, she's got arthritis. You know, it was like she was just so crippled and taking care of these two little kids. And so we got in there and we sat down, and Joy talked to her for a while because they had some school things to work out that she's helping her with, and then we had the opportunity to pray for her. And I went over and I knelt in front of her in the dirt, and it was like, if this is what I was born to do at this moment right here, that's what it was like. I was like, I'm good with it, God, if this is it. And so I sat in the dirt and I asked her, I said, Joy, can you ask her if I could take her socks off?
and her feet were all twisted and arthritic. And so I got to anoint and pray for her feet, and I was just like, Jesus, come. And I saw her back being healed and stuff like that. We haven't gotten any reports to check on her yet, but I'm still praying for her.
Yeah, we were able to pray and anoint, I don't know how many people, with oil. And God used both Becca and Deanna to speak a lot of prophetic words into many people. So it was awesome how God used and moved. So the two arms for the Father's Delight, we want to present to you. Actually, Deanna's going to share here in a little bit about the school itself. So if you want to know any more about the ministry, we've actually set up a Facebook page. It's called the Father's Delight Mission, and you can slash about, and it will explain a little bit more about what they're doing there. So, Deanna, do you want to come back on and share about the school?
Sure. Ben, if you could pull up slide number 9. I can't really see what's up there, so I'm just going to start. There you go. So if you look at the picture in the top left, those are the homemade posters that we were talking about. All of the classrooms except for one house homemade posters. The one room that didn't is because it was a new classroom to a teacher, but it was also their chapel because Joy is also pastor of a church that meets at her downtown location. And so if you also look to the top picture on the right, they are still using blackboards, where we have the luxury of using either a smart board or a whiteboard here in the States. And so you can tell that they are getting worn, and it is a little bit challenging to read that. I'm speaking now as a teacher on the trip. And so the pictures on the bottom, you can see it's student work. The one on the left, those are for the younger grades, the 3- and 4-year-olds. The teachers have to take the time out of their day, usually right about the lunchtime for them, to transcribe into a notebook their homework. The bottom right picture is where the student copied from the chalkboard into their notebook, and that's their homework. So they don't have the luxury like we have here in the States of having workbook pages or quick look on Pinterest or internet, quickly copy and print a paper, and voila, there you go. They don't have that luxury. And Sandra and I were talking yesterday that a lot of their testing now is in English. So I can only imagine as a teacher how challenging it is for a student to be able to go in and take a test with a language that is not your first language, and you very seldom see it in print. And if you see there those two work samples on the bottom, it's very minimal homework. And so for them to translate that over into testing, I can't even begin to imagine, honestly, what it is like for them. And then, Ben, if you'll go to the next slide, slide number 10, that's going to show the curriculum. Right now, the only books that the students have are the teacher edition and then one copy of the student edition that the teachers use in teaching and providing the students with homework to copy. So the top picture there is just the front covers, and I had tasked Joy into looking into what would it cost per student or per grade level to be able to provide students with their own workbook, so that way they have the daily contact with print, but it's also not very limited, because a student is not going to grasp a brand new concept if they're only getting minimal work on it. If you look at the inset there on the bottom right, that is an actual sheet that is taken out of a second grade math book. And if you notice, they are doing the same work that we do here. However, we have the luxury of having pretty much anything at our fingertips, whether we do it in paper copy or we do it electronically. They just don't have that option. And so we finally got an invoice from Joy yesterday or the day before, and if Sandra and I are reading it right, everything was in Kenyan, and it really equated out to, for a first grader to have all of the necessary books that they would need to get started, would be about $21.56 for all of their content. You're not going to buy curriculum for that here in America, not all subject matter. So for a grade, it looked like it averaged out to about $500 per grade level for 20 students in each class to be able to have workbooks to work in and have access to the printed words and printed numbers. The other part of that I want to touch on is that for us, education is a privilege. We take it for granted, and we don't understand or can't even understand for them it's a huge privilege. If they get to go to school, that's unheard of past a certain grade unless you test well. They also have a tiered system on how you test depends on what school you get into, and that school may not be in your community. That school could be, you know, 20, 30, 40 or more miles away to go to school, and that's if you have the funds to be able to even go. Like Sandra and Becca had touched on, this students in the other schools, Joy provides a breakfast and a lunch at her school, but the public schools that are just down the road don't offer food in them. And so the public schools there, where we have public schools in our communities, they're free. Students can just go. If you are low income, you have meals provided to you. The public school over there is not free. They do have to wear uniforms, much differently than what we do. It's pretty much you can wear anything in our schools. And so I don't even know where to go from here because there's so much that I could share, and I know we're so limited on time. So my challenge to you is, maybe you're one like me who has never gone on a mission trip. This is my first mission trip, but I could at least help fund the needs in other areas for those who are going. And so I would challenge each of you to get with one of us team members, sit down and look at the photos, because you only got a very small glimpse of what we encountered over there. You can't even really grasp it in the little bits that we've shared today. But seeing all of our videos and all of our pictures in the needs that are there. And I know that Joy puts a lot of herself and her own finances in to meeting the needs of both of her ministries, both arms of them. And so their new school year actually starts the end of this month. When they broke for COVID a year ago, their students didn't move ahead like our students were able to. When they came back to school, that's where they started where they left off. And so they are starting a brand new school year now in July. And so as a teacher, my heart's desire is to see them have books to get the students going in the right direction. It is a brand new school. And so if you're interested in helping with that, I know that she would be greatly appreciative. And so I'm going to turn it back over to Sandra because I know she's got some things to touch on that will go right with this.
Thank you, Deanna. So like Deanna said, there are lots of needs. So one of those needs is the need for curriculum. Like I said, those teachers are copying every single day the students' work that then they have to copy it themselves. So it takes a lot of time into their day. So first off, we would like you to pray, be a prayer partner with the Father's Delight. Come alongside them in prayer. We know that God answers prayers. So one of the things that you could do is we have actually out in the foyer, we put up a thing, is to sponsor a child. And that would be for $30 a month, that sponsors a child for primary school. For the high school, to send them to a local high school, it's about $600 a year, which equates to about $50 a month. To send them to the boarding school, which is a higher, like Deanna said, their education is a tiered system. To send them to the local school, that is usually the lowest, bare minimum education. So they're not going to be able to advance very far in their education and get a better paying job. So that's why a lot of them, they strive to go to these boarding schools, because it's a better education for them. They can usually get into the universities and the colleges if they have graduated from a boarding high school, because like Deanna said, for them to advance, they have to pass these national exams at certain grade levels. If they do not pass the national exam, they cannot advance in their education. So that's a lot of pressure on a little 8-year-old, even at 8 years old, they're still taking exams, but like at the eighth grade, they have to pass that exam to be able to advance into high school. Otherwise, they can't. They're no longer welcomed into high school. So that's why I alluded to the 20-year-old. She was not able to advance. Of course, there was a lot of other extra things that were going on in her family life. So that's why I really commended her. It was like, as a 20-year-old, why would you want to go into high school? But she knows that education is so important for her to advance. So I would encourage you, if God moves on your heart, to come alongside the Father's Light to sponsor these children to be able to go to school. You can go on to our Facebook, or to the Father's Light Facebook page. We have a PayPal account set up on that you can pay through that, or through Bridge of Hope's website. There's actually a couple links on our website now under giving that directs you to be able to sponsor a child through that, and then we will get the money to her through that way. So, Ben, would you bring up the next slide, the very last slide? So we raised money before we left. You guys contributed, and we thank you for that, was to be able to pay for the phase one, and this is the chapel on the main compound that she is now, we were able to fully fund to be able to finish that building off. She's not started this coming week. She will actually, because they're having a school break, she's going to bring in the construction people to actually finish this building, and that will be her next grade that she's adding to grade 3 that will meet in this building. So every year her intention is to add the next grade up so these kids can continue to advance and stay in the school. So on phase 2, we would like to, of that $10,500, we already have $2,400 that was already donated to go towards the building of these 4 classrooms. There will actually be 4 classrooms in this one building. So the balance that we would like to raise is $8,100 to get this phase through the classrooms built. So what we have, you want to take that off? Is the Kenya Classroom Building Project. So this is for phase 2. To build these classrooms for grades 3, 4, 5, and 6. So what I have on here, we have on here is the envelopes. They're actually from $1 to $150 per in one of them. So I challenge you, we're going to have this hanging up in the foyer, to come and grab one and see whatever. It's whatever ones you pick. You can grab more than one. You can grab a whole bunch.
But it's a surprise inside.
It's a surprise inside. There's a picture and there's a mountain there. Then you can go either to our Bridge of Hope website or, on the Facebook page of the Father's Delight Mission to be able to, obviously pray about it and let God lead you. And I hope that we conveyed God's heart for the Father's Delight, for the Okalau community. And we want to close. Yes. Go to the Bridge of Hope's website, go under the giving. There's two tabs on there that either says to sponsor the child or for the building project, or to go to the Facebook page of the Father's Delight Mission. Does there anybody else have any other questions?
Okay. This is a little weird for me, honestly. Which has to sound crazy coming from me. But
it does.
I have a word for you guys as a house in response to what they've been sharing about your yes. And this is broad spectrum. And a few of you in this room know this. Not very many of you do. But on May 6th, 2007, I was sitting in the back of this room. It was a marked moment in my life. I can tell you the day and what I was wearing. And there was a team from Kenya that was sharing their testimony from a trip that they had just taken. And the Lord convicted my heart so heavily in the back of that room that my entire life changed in that moment. And not a single person in the room knew. It was not loud. It was not, I was not crying and weep. Well, I was eventually, but like no one else in the room knew. There was a team from Kenya sharing. I think they were actually at Father's Delight. And the Lord marked me, and it had nothing to do with Africa. It had to do with where my own heart was and my yes. And so I feel like there's a word from the Lord for you guys in this room. There is one person specifically, but there may be many, that the Lord is marking you in this moment for a yes. And it may be to give. It may be to go to Africa. It may be to move to the other side of the world. It may be to just change the current status of your life. I don't know what it is. But that yes that I gave in my heart that day changed my entire life. Everything on that day changed. Zach and Sage were not here. I called them and I said, I don't know what's happening to me. And I don't think they believed me. Someday, I'll tell you all that story. Today is not the day. But my entire life, what I am doing today is because of my yes in that moment. And I just want to encourage you in this room that if you are feeling stirred by the Lord, it may be about Africa, it may be by the villages, it may be about your family, it could be about 100 different things, but answer that yes. It could mark you for eternity. You may look back on this day for all the rest of your life and say, I was changed in that moment because I gave my yes. So I just want to encourage you.
That's extremely powerful that you shared, Danny. It brought me back to that time. About a year before that, there was a word given over the house about your yes, and you saying yes to what he's asking me to do. I had stepped out in an area of my life that I changed my life forever, and I said yes. Annie, the day that you just said 5, 6, 7 is my daughter's birthday. She was born on that day. I had said yes, and I hadn't even met this daughter yet. Your yes is powerful, and it will go on into eternity. So I really encourage you to take to heart what she's encouraging this body in, because it's vital and it's life-changing to say yes.
So what that yes looks to you, you need to ask God what that is. Whether it's to go on a mission trip or it's to come alongside in prayer when people go on mission trips, or to financially support a mission program or system in some way, that's up to you to follow what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. So
I encourage you to ask Holy Spirit what the yes means for you. We gave our yes in going. We sacrificed our time, our money to go. And God returned that manifold way. And he will for you too. I believe that. So we want to end today with, like we said, we played the blessing.